Find a scripture in the book of James 1 in verse 21. We'll begin in verse 21 and read through verse 22 here, the two verses of scripture here to start with. And it says in 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," which that means that an overflowing of wickedness here, to lay aside our wickedness and our wicked ways, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now tonight what I want to speak to you about is that we should be doers and not hearers only. As I heard the testimony of Brother Will a while ago, him speaking about how he committed his life, just like you'd seen the scripture, present your body a living sacrifice, and we can see that in his life, that it actually, he truly did. He relies on God for everything, and even his doctrine. And I tell you, Brother Will, if on your conviction and the way you've dealt with God, and for him, that your name's Will, and to be in the perfect will of God, it's for you to do, and it ain't for me to do the will of Will's will. And it ain't for me to be in Bobby's will. It ain't for me to be in Mike or Patricia and Adam or nobody's. God has a perfect will for everybody in here, believe it or not. You may think what can you do with me? If he saved you and you're born again, I promise you he's got a will for your life. I promise you, without a shadow of a doubt, there's not just a general will. See, there's general wills for all of us. I mean, it's general that we tell people about Jesus. It's general that we meet and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's general. And there's general preaching that we can do that hits everybody. Like I say, you just shoot a shotgun amongst them and you hit everybody. And there's actually sometimes you may pull the rifle out and you fire specifically on somebody. Not that you actually mean to hit them, but the word hits them straight in the heart. And that's, you know, that you never know. And a lot of times people accuse as a preacher, "You've been walking around and following me, ain't you? You've been snooping in and listening and eavesdropping." But no, the Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows all where we've been, where we're going, what we're going to do, and what we've done. But the thing is that where it says to be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The thing about it is, and I mentioned it the last time I can remember when I preached here that last time, talking about it's dangerous for people to come in a place where the word of God is spoken truth and in spirit, and we hear it, but we don't do nothing about it. We just get feasting and we get full upon the food of the manna from above, and we say, "Wow," and we walk out. Because it's dangerous, because we will be judged on how much light we're given. Now, that light would be for a lost person. If the lost person is sitting here in services, whether they be one here tonight that's never been saved, and they hear that gospel again, that light's been exposed to them again, and that's what they'll be judged on, and we'll be judged on the Word of God. We won't be judged on what Brent Duncan said or what even Darren or what you say. We'll be judged on the Word. Now, as I preach the truth and the truth in love and the Spirit to the best of my ability. But there again, as I preach the truth, and God knows the truth, and the Spirit bears witness with the truth, I tell you the truth. Now, sometimes we do throw opinions in, and they're not much for nothing, but good godly counsel is good for something. When you're talking to someone, especially if you've sat in one seat and you know how it is to sit in this seat and you've got out of this seat, you can tell someone what it's like to be in that place. Like where it says, "Judge not lest you be judged." If you've been an alcoholic and been hooked on any kind of drugs and the Lord delivered you and you see someone in that area that way, you can talk to them and explain and try to lead them, because see, you've done been there. But now if you're still in your sin, it ain't going to do you no good to be in that sin and go say, "Brother, you shouldn't do that," or "Sister," because then the same judgment will fall to you that you're giving to them, because you're still sitting in the seat of the scornful and trying to win people to the Lord. Now, something, I heard a song the other day when we was in Johnson City, me and Christy, and I said, "Write that down real quick, write that name of that song." And I'll tell you the name of that song, and it goes right along with this scripture, "Be ye doers, not hearers only." That song said, "The way you live speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say." Now, we've got to understand that as I turn over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, Ye are our epistle written in the hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy fleshly tables of the heart. What it's saying is that our lives is going to be one. It's going to be a Bible that most people will, that'd be the only Bible they ever read, is our lives. The way we live as a Christian, people are looking at you every day, and that will honestly be the only Bible that some ever see. And you may be able to turn someone that's in sin out, because see, we know that we're all created in the image of God, and that God put a conscience in every living soul. He put a conscience in man, and He's extended that man of every man, I said it, a measure of faith. And in that man, there's an ability, if he'll use, he can go toward the light. Now it said that men's evils, their deeds are wicked and they like darkness. We're born unto sin. We're born depraved. But there again, as we live our life as Christians, being a doer, not just a hearer, people see that. Now, a lot of times when I go out to witness and we go out to witness and we're talking to people, I get tired of hearing the stuff. Now, I know part of it's an excuse from them, and I see that. But part of it's the truth. They'll say, if so-and-so there's a Christian, the woods are full of them. How many of you heard that? I've heard it a bunch. And I've even heard them say specific things about, and I don't mean to get involved in this, but you do. You just automatically, there you are. And you're trying to witness in the living room with someone, and they're going to tell you what they think. And they'll say, well, I'll just tell you what, preacher or whatever. They say, brother so-and-so. And I say, yeah. Now, he's a Christian. I say, yeah, as far as I know, Well, he owes me this. He owes me a pile of money, never has. What do I say in that position? It don't look good. See, the way you live speaks so loud, people can't hear what you're saying. I don't like to see somebody jump up and testify that just jumps out of the blue. They've been to church one time in 2 or 3 months. They get up. I can't hardly hear them because they live, the way they live their life speaks so loud, I can't hear what they're saying. And that's what we got to be careful about, because we're to be doers and not just hearers only of the word. You, like I said, you're the only Bible that somebody will ever read, and it begin, and they're going to look at your life and they're going to say, if that's a Christian, then they're either going to have something good report or they're going to have a bad. Now, we all fail. I understand. I'm not waiting we're perfect till we get to heaven. We're to strive. And that's why it also says, you know, it says, strive ye to enter in at the straight gate. Now, it may mean for a soul to be saved, you must strive to enter in there. And I believe that's the main point of the scripture. But I'll tell you, where it says, few be there that find it, there's few, Brother Will, that'll live up to God's standard this day and time. And a lot of people say, all you are is legalistic. No, I'm not legalistic, because I don't put nothing in front of salvation, no works. I'm not talking about working up to being saved. I'm talking about saving faith that when you get it, we'll put you to work. If it ain't enough to put you to work, you better examine yourself. Because I tell you, if you got something as big as Jesus in you and it don't come out, I'll tell you, something is wrong. It's wrong if you can't never do nothing for Jesus. The man that paid it all for you on the cross at Calvary. And it says that greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friend. And I tell you, the story that Darren tells always touches me. I think about that boy that gets caught up in those wheels on that bridge, and I begin to think about how Jesus sent his son to die. I talked to an individual this evening, and he just cannot get that Jesus is the Son of God. I spent an hour before I come here with him, talking and talking and talking, reading the scriptures, reading John 3, reading John 14, 6, showing him where it said, whose name were not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. And he sits there and says, I just cannot. I just cannot. And I don't know what the man might not be a reprobate. I don't know. I can't judge for sure. I don't know. But he sits there. It's almost like he may have sent away his day of grace. It's almost like God dealt with him for the last time. You ever heard the saying, somebody said, I can't be saved? Well, I almost felt like that's impossible, because all things are possible with God. But I really believe, according to the scriptures, we can sin away our day of grace. I believe that God will deal with a man and deal with a man until eventually he turns you over. And there's a God of wrath, same as the God of love. And it's like when he says to be ye doers. You know, you turn over there in the book of James, as I told you, that our lives are the only Bibles that most are ever going to read. And that is true. This generation especially, they won't read the scripture. Most Christians won't even read your own Bible, much less the lost people. They ain't going to start picking up the scripture and reading. They're going to hear it from you and see it through you. Now, if you turn over with me into chapter 2, over here in verse 14, chapter 2 of James and verse 14, it says, "What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now let me say this. This is not contradicting Apostle Paul, where he said that you're not saved by works, that you're saved by faith. See, Apostle Paul is talking about that the law don't save you. Not living and keeping the law, that's what he's talking about, the works. And James definitely knows, and he's not mentioning about the law. He's just saying, can faith save a man alone? What he's saying is this, is we're dealing in a time, especially, and even in the day of the Bible, in James's time, that we've got a lot of people that's got phony faith. Because it says even the devils believe in fear and tremble. And we got a lot of people that believe in God, that believe about Him, but have never walked and talked and actually know God. They know about Him, but they don't know God. And I know as a young person gets born again and saved, they don't know much. I didn't either. But see, there's evidence in a man's walk. I'm not so concerned about what you did at age 5 and 10 and 11 as I am what you're doing today. Because that's what shows you're born again. Because that you're converted. And I know we have a lot of people that might just be saved, but not converted. Now, don't misunderstand that. Because what that means is saved is someone that's saved, that believed upon Jesus, called upon Him, know that He was their only way they was going to make it to heaven. And they did that, and then they sat on the seat of do-nothing. And see, they're saved. But when you get converted and Jesus Christ deals with you and starts moving about you, there will be some works. You can't help it. You'll want to see other people saved. You'll lay down some of this junk of the life that you have, whether it's the music you listen to, whether it's whatever it may be that keeps you from God. You will eventually start to lay it down. If you're able to live in sin continually, right over and over and over, and you're continually going and nothing's happening, no remorse, no repentance, and you don't feel nothing going on, that there's any kind of chastisement or whooping, I'm telling you people, you better examine yourself to know that you're in the faith and yet you're saved. Because I tell you, when you come to that day and God shuts the door the way He did in the days of Noah, son, you can't back up on it. That's the key. You cannot back up on salvation when you leave this side of eternity. And see, the thing about it is Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let me tell you how that you can know that you're saved, because you want to do the things that Jesus did. And when you don't do it, you feel regret. You feel miserable, because there's a saying that when you sin, like David did, and we all look at sin differently. We look at a big sin and a little sin. Now, granted, the consequences of big sins is bigger, and a little sin. The act of adultery. If you actually physically commit the act of adultery and get caught up with it, your marriage is squandered. It's over. If you just have that thought in your mind, it probably ain't over. You'll probably be able to go another day. Your wife don't know about it, or the husband, and you've got to ask God to forgive you, because He said he that look at a woman or a man to lust has committed adultery in his own heart. And see, that's the thing. Is that there is bigger consequences to our sins. But it says in the book of James, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unto him it is sin. So there's no way that we have no sin, that we all must be in repentance every day. And you know, that's the problem, is we look at ourselves and we say, I'm okay. Like that life, that shirt life is good. Now really, let me tell you this, that when a man is saved, we call it, and Paul says that in Galatians 2:20, that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but Christ liveth in me. Let me tell you what happens to a man on the cross. A man that's hung on the cross is stripping of his clothes, and his humility is stripping of his humility. And a man that's on the cross has no rights. He has no personal rights to himself. He's owed to somebody, because they have him hanging there, and Jesus died for it said, now I'm crucified with Christ. So let me tell you, if you're saved, you've been crucified with Christ. And you have no right to make up your own decisions, whether you do it or not. That's up to you. I'm not going to pat you and say it'll be all right, honey, because it won't be all right. It will not. And I don't here to browbeat you. I'm trying to tell you the truth so you can live a Christian life. And the day of His appearing, you can be loving it and not worrying about Him when He comes. Just like one of my boys, I got three. And I told them when I was gone to Florida that if your mama has to whoop you, I'll give you another when I get back. So you know what happened when it got closer time to me to get home? When I'd call them, they'd say, hey, Daddy, and they'd talk real good. But the closer it got when I was within hours of the house, their voices got low. They was no longer longing and loving the appearing of their daddy because they had done wrong and chastisement was coming. Now see, that's the problem today is we live the way we want to live. And a lot of us, honestly, if you want to be honest with yourself, you don't want Jesus to come today. You don't want him to come today. You want him to wait because, oh my God, I got to get my house in order. I don't want to see him today because if he comes today, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been born again, but there's a judgment seat of Christ that I'll go through. There is a judgment that we'll go through as Christians. Not the great white throne. That's for the lost man that's never been saved. But it's the judgment seat of Christ that we'll go through. We'll face him. And it said he had eyes like fire, feet like brass. Brass is a type of judgment in the scripture. And he had a tongue with sharp sticking as a two-edged sword. Now, he is a God of love. Don't get me wrong. I know greater love hath no man, and for God so loved the world. I'm not preaching a hatred type of God. But I'm telling you the whole counsel. There's two sides of John 3:16. There's the side that said, who that believeth not on me, though my wrath will abide on him forever. And if you live, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Now, let me tell you this. As a Christian, if you decide to live your way, like Burger King, and go your way and have it your way, you will pay the cost. You will pay the cost. I guarantee I got people in here today that will testify if I said, what did sin cost you? You could stand and testify for hours that God is real, but behind God, there's a devil too. That's pushing on the flesh, and he's purging the flesh, the same as the Holy Spirit will purge your flesh if you allow it to. And you will bear fruit when the Spirit purges and you let him have his way. It talks in the scripture about resisting the devil and he'll flee, right? Now, if you tell someone living in sin, just resist it. That won't do them a bit of good. It says you must submit yourselves unto the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Now, that submission means just submit and give in to his will. Now, once we're living in his will, we can stand in the name of Jesus and defeat Satan, of course. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And that right there, you can have victory over the flesh, victory over Satan. But I'm telling you, folks, until we get this, Brother Darren's probably going to have to preach on storms and troubles continually. When he could be a preaching on salvation to the sinners and going out winning law, but he's having to tell us over and over again that if you don't do this, then this will happen. And I'm telling you, this is a place, and I said it before, that we hear the word in truth. Brother Tony, we do. I love this place. That's what drew me here was the Spirit of God. And the truth is in our preaching and in the testifying. But I'm telling you, people, it's going to be a shame to stand at the judgment seat in front of God, having all that we had, more technology to do everything with the gospel, vehicles to drive to and fro to people's house to tell the gospel, a place to come and hear the true gospel, and you squandered it and you stand before Jesus with nothing as a pauper when you could have had all the riches and glory. Now see, that's the real deal. And I know this preaching type ain't popular today because they want a smooth message that'll just ease around with them and say, hey, we're all good. We're all good. And the river, like the man told me the other day, all these little streams flow into the big river, and as long as we're sincere, we'll all go to the big river. That's what a guy told me the other day I was witnessing to. Of course, I told him the truth. I told him that was a good theory. I was nice to him, and then I told him the truth. And I said, that's the problem, sir, is if you'll notice what you just said, you said, this is what I think. And I showed him the Bible. I said, it ain't about what I think. It's about what the Scripture says. There is a God of wrath, and I'm going to tell you, folks, if you live in sin, you're going to pay the cost. Now, as we know, it says in the book of 1 John, if you say you have no sin, that you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Now, we are sinners saved by grace. But that don't mean you waller like a hog back in the mud. Because see what happens when we're born again. It says old things are passed away. All things become new. Now what happens when somebody has spiritually had the new birth? It's not that they've turned over a new leaf and said, I'm going to do better today. It's actually taking a hog that would go out and waller in the mud and turning him into a sheep. Changing his whole nature. Not just changing half and turning over, but turning him into a new creature in Christ. Because a lamb will not want to get in the mud, Brother Bobby. And when it does get in the mud, he wants to get cleaned off quickly. He wants to be clean. He can't stand it. Now, a pig's nature is to run right back in the mud. You could bring that pig up to the altar. We could suds him up and put spick and span on him and Mr. Clean, wash him up, and send him back out, and probably within an hour, he'd be in a mud hole again. And see, that's what a lot of people does. They come, and I know that we use churches as a hospital. That's where people's supposed to come to get help. And I'll be honest with you, the church is not for the lost. Now, are we glad they come in? Praise God. But it says in the scripture, this is where the part about doing. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. Now, when you go out in the highways and hedges, you lead them to Christ. You're a soul winner. You turn a man from the error of his ways and you lead them to Christ and you bring them into the house that may be full. And it's also talking about the heavenly house that will be there. Because see, we got to realize that for a lost man to come to church is about like me going to an AC/DC concert. They ain't going to do it unless the Holy Spirit deals with them by watching your life and seeing the way you live. You can compel them. That word compel means to have an irresistible force on them. A lot of people say, well, you just can't force yourself on nobody. Well, tell the scripture that. Now, I know there's ways and there's tactics. You've got to be tactical. You can't just go, bless God, you're going to hell! Which they might be. They've a good chance. Oh, for lost, they're definitely going. It's a truth. But that ain't the truth in love, is it? So you've got to tell them about what's going on and tell them the scriptures. It says faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Now, we need to read up on our scriptures to know what the word of God says. And if you don't know, bless God, carry you a little Bible with you. Carry you one and have it marked. Mark all those places when you've got time and where you can turn to them. Because like I said, folks, until we get on this level of being a doer, you're living dangerously with knowing to whom much is given, much is required. Now, what's going to happen on the judgment seat day? What will happen to the man that don't do much of nothing? Now, see, I have a hard time. I know salvation, it's crystal clear. But I won't lie to you. Sometimes it's mind-boggling, and sometimes it's confusing to watch somebody that says I'm saved but just don't live it. I'm not the judge, and they'll be in the hands of a just God, but I'm not going to lie to you, it's hard to understand it. It's hard to see someone tell me they're born again and never ever want to go to church. It's hard for me to tell someone say I've been born again and then they have a mouth that needs to be washed out with soap every day. Because, see, that's the problem, is that they're living their life so loud that people can't hear what they're saying if they are a Christian. If they really are a Christian, something is terribly wrong. And my Bible says that he chastens his own. And if someone's living a life of way I've been around them that they say they're Christians and they're not having the belt took to them, then something is wrong. Because God will break you. He will break you. He'll bother you. He'll bother you first. The word rebuke can bother you. He'll bother you. He'll put some conviction to bother you. Because the Holy Spirit will not live in a dirty house. Now you think a holy, righteous God's going to live in a dirty house continually and not turn the tables over and clean house? It ain't going to happen. You might wish it was that way and see it your way, but it's not. And see, it's a good thing when he does turn your tables over. Because he starts putting you back on the straight and narrow way where you can bear fruit, where you can put up the rewards and store up treasures in heaven. Because see, when we leave here, for the one that lives just as he wants, saved, maybe or maybe not. But it says in the scripture that there'll be some that day that'll be saved thus by fire. Meaning that on that day, if you pictured a conveyor running down with the works of each one standing before God, they call your name. You stand before God and he looks at you and he won't be like, hey buddy, how are you? And you won't have Jesus looking at you and saying, Brent, you took me too seriously. You've done far too much. I didn't require that much of you or you. He won't say that. And what he'll say is he'll show you every deed that was done in that body, whether it be good or bad. And he's going to reprimand you, and he's going to either give you a reward or you will lose the reward. It's up to you to do that. And as it comes through, it says it's wood, hay, and stubble, the things that don't count. And that, if you think about it, wood, hay, and stubble is above ground. Everything that's above ground. That showmanship. If all you do is come to church so people can see you and yet your granny won't talk and tell you to go, you will stay at home. If you don't come for Jesus' sake, you're squandering your work. It won't be nothing even accounted for. But it'll come through that conveyor belt and be tried in a fiery furnace, as you might say. That's why he said some will be saved thus by fire, that when their works go through the fire, all that'll be over here on this side is a big pile of ashes. But you will get into heaven by grace and not of your works. You might be sitting back in the very back of heaven and looking real sour looking, but you'll be there. Like I've heard some people say, well, I'll be there, but I'll be the one in the back. Well, I don't want to be the one in the back. Now, I know that we're supposed to be humble and we're supposed to be, you know, not, but the thing about it is in the side of that, it's not to be that you're being greedy and whatever the other word is, being greedy and wanting money, like you want money and jealousy, but we're doing this for Jesus' sake. Because every crown and every reward that you get will be cast at his feet to give God all the glory for what he done. And I don't want to stand before God a pauper when he looks and says, right here is a whole mound that had your name on it. All you had to do was just do what I commanded to thee, and it would be granted. And you could have stood here and gave me all the glory. But see, that's a real deal. The judgment seat of Christ is not a phony thing. But see, what we've got to look at is we've really got to understand is why aren't we doing things for Christ? Now that's what I want you to look at in your life. Why is it that you're not working for Christ? Why? Is it because you're too busy? And the word busy, the B-U-S-Y, could say being under Satan's yoke. I've said it before, Satan don't care what a Christian does as long as he don't do the will of God. He done knows you're going to heaven, whether you're saved thus by fire or not. He's not going to drag your soul into hell. He done lost that battle. But he'll tell you everything under the sun to keep you from doing the will of God. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to pray? Seriously, think about it. Have you ever realized just how hard it is to do something you'd say, just bow down and pray for 5 minutes at a time? It's hard. The phone will ring, you'll think of something you hadn't done, you need to do. And who do you think that is? That's Satan, or one of his nymphs. See, they're working against us every day, every day, every minute. And that's the reason we must stay armored in the armor of God. Now, as you do things for Christ, and as you start living and obeying Christ, then that's where the peace and joy comes, and there will be suffering. There will be suffering. We're not above suffering. He was a suffering Savior, and no man is greater than his master. And it even talks about the world will hate you, but it says, remember, they hated me first. They hated Jesus first. So, reason this church today is not being persecuted is because we blend in with them. There's not much difference at all. And if you are set apart and sanctified, you're called, oh, you're legalistic. Now, when I say legalistic, I said it a while ago. I'm not legalistic by no means, because legalistic is putting everything works in front of salvation. Now, do I have some high standards? Oh, yeah. Should we have high standards? Oh, yeah. But not to the point to push and shove people out of the way, but that we do believe Jesus and what he says in the scripture. We are to be sanctified and set apart. And see, that's a word nobody wants to hear no more this day and time. That's the old way. Set apart and sanctified. Be holy and righteous before a holy and righteous God. He says, be ye holy because he is holy. Now, if you're going to be like Jesus and you want to be called a Christian, then you're going to have to be like Jesus. And you know what Jesus is, holy and righteous. Perfect. Now, we'll never be perfect, but the word strive is what we're supposed to do. Strive to be like Jesus. Now, we're going to have to start getting about. Do you know how hard it is when you first try to start back exercising? I remember in school when I lifted weights, what short time I did lift weights. But I remember I'd do it for a week or two, man, I was on fire. And then I'd get, man, I'm sore. I'd get sore, and then, you know, how it does, once you're done. Or either running, either way, your legs. And then you give up. And you go a month or two and say, man, I got to get back at it. Oh, you get sore again. You dread that deal. You get roll right back to the same deal. But I'm honestly, folks, we're going to have to start working for Jesus. Now, it's going to make you sore. It's going to be sacrifices given and made to that obedience. But I promise you, it will be rewarding, and you'll be happier than you've ever been in your life on this side of eternity. On this side. It'll be the happiest you can be on this side by keeping His commandments. Now, you say, I can't do this or I can't do that. And I said, you can't, but He can. Just submit yourselves to Him. Turn your life over to Christ. Like it said, we're crucified with Christ. And as we look, you know, there in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and 7 and 10, and I'll ask you to turn with that, and this will be the last scripture. The book of Galatians chapter 6. Book of Galatians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And look here, it says, and let us not be weary in well doing. So that tells me if you're going to be if you're saved and you're a child of God, there's going to be a lot of doing in this deal. Because He's saying, just don't get weary in well-doing, in doing, that word doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, there's truly coming a day that we're going to meet Jesus. We sang the song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. But now you think when you sang that song, we'll be singing it, I'm sure, for it long again. And you think, what kind of day will that be, really, when you look upon His face? I want to be found faithful, and Him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I mean, really, that's what we want or should long for. And you can be. And you don't have to be the Billy Graham. Just bloom where God planted you. Like the flower. Darren's even said it. And I remember it stuck in my mind as we remember seeing a little flower out in the cracks of the pavement. It didn't ask to be put there. But it come up right there and bloomed right where it was put. You may say, well, I'm not around many people. Well, how many are you around? How many can you talk to at one time? You might be around one or two. Boy, if you could help those one or two. Now, it ain't up to you if they get saved. It ain't up to you. And if they reject it, you've done your part by telling them the gospel and what Jesus did for them. That's all. And if you just live your life holy and righteous, and it's hard to do, but you got to have that Spirit walk in Him, because you cannot do it alone. You cannot. That's why it pays. And people, we got to have fear, the reverence, respectful fear of God. Because it says fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And see, that's what a lot of people's lost today. It's because everybody says, well, God loves you. God loves you the way that you are. He knows you're an old sinner. He knows you that you can't be perfect. And they've took that so far down that they've belittled God in the way that He's supposed to be and the way we're supposed to live holy and righteous. But see, the thing about it is that's the only way there's life and peace, is living for Jesus. Once we're saved, that's great. It's great to be saved and know that you're going to heaven. That's the most important thing to be. And it's like me, I look at myself and say, what's your occupation? Of course, I'm a landscaping and do some tree work. But my main occupation and my main duty is telling people how to get to heaven and how to escape hell. That's my main goal. And if I can succeed at that, then I've done what I was supposed to do. That's our main goal. And then as that goal comes, If you live for others and want to tell them about Jesus, I promise you, if you start to be a witness, the Holy Spirit will convict you so badly when you start to sin, knowing that the power of God will leave you, that you can't win other people to Christ. It'll scare you to the point you'll be crying under conviction, saying, "Oh God, help me," because souls are going to hell. And I don't want to lose the power of God to sin, to where when I speak, it's nothing but this vain babbling. And that when I live my life, it won't be that I live my life in a way that I live my life so loud they can't hear what I'm saying. And it's about living. It ain't about boasting and bragging. When I get up here and tell you, bless God, somebody got saved or there, I'm not boasting. I'm trying to encourage you, and I'm trying, it encourages me to see that people still are getting saved. And you can still talk to people about Jesus and not get thrown in jail. You can still talk, and I've not had no blood drawn on me. I've not been beaten, battered. You know, as deer hunter, when I was a deer hunter, and I still like to hunt, but not as much as I used to, I'd go knock on somebody's door and say, "Excuse me, how much land do you have here? Would you let me hunt?" Now, instead of doing that, I say, "Excuse me, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven?" But see, the devil ain't against deer hunting, and he won't fight you to go knock on the door to ask somebody about deer hunting, but he'll fight you over this. But I tell you, great is your reward. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Just remember, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end." But he also said to go, the Great Commission. And then he said, "Lo, I'm with you." No go, no lo. And you'll just sit around and being unpeaceful, and you'll wonder, why in the world do I feel like I'm lost? Now, there's only two reasons you feel that you're lost. One is you're backslid on God and you're not working, or you are lost. It's one to the other. Or you're either doubting, under doubt. So it could be the doubt. But like I said, once you're safe and secured and have salvation secured, you can work. You can work for Jesus. Now, that being secured in salvation will promote the works in you, because see, you have the love of God in us once we're saved. Now, as we close, Miss, what's your name? Too much preaching and not enough thinking right there. Patricia, play something softly. Now, this is Wednesday, and I'm going to give you an invitation. If you're sitting in here under the sound of my breath tonight, and you say, "Bless God, I don't know if I've been saved or not. I don't really know, because no wonder I can't never keep myself excited or doing anything for Jesus." You may not have the Holy Spirit. But if you know that you're born again, and you don't, you're good to go to heaven, and you know somebody's lost, and you say, I've been putting it off, or I've not been a doer. I've heard a lot of things, and I've heard good preaching over the years, but I've just been sitting on the bench. And when I get to heaven, I want to have a reward. I do. I want to be able to lay to Jesus' feet. I tell you, it's really going to happen. And we must be about our Father's business. And we must work while it is day. For it comes night when no man can work. And I'm going to close out and invite you to meet down here in the altar. And whatever you may have that you need to tell Jesus about it. You don't have to tell me. Tell Jesus. And if you need to be saved, you don't know, you have a doubt, if you'll get me, we'll go through these scriptures, and I'll show you what the Word of God says about being born again, and not what a man says about this Bible. And if I can help you in any way to pray about it, you come get me. Otherwise, you just deal with God. You know where you've been. I don't know where you've been. God knows where you've been and what you need to do. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. We no doubt, Lord, that you've blessed us beyond measure. And that, God, we're nothing but sinners, and there's nothing good in this flesh, not one good thing, but what's inside me is Christ that liveth in me. It's the love of God that constraineth me. That's what makes me want to tell others about you. It's not about how good I can be. It's because Jesus purged my heart. And I thank you, Lord, for what you did for me and my family and this church. And God, help us to be a church that would be called a good and faithful servant church of God. Not just to be a hearer, but we'd take the words we hear, apply it to our hearts and our lives, and that we'd go forth bearing precious seed, sowing that precious seed of the gospel, and living and loving each other, especially those in the faith, because we've down in the world beats us. We don't need to be beaten by our own brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, God, to be soul winners for Christ's sake. And Lord, help us to lay up those treasures in heaven. Help us, God, we'll just stamp eternity on the fleshy part of our heart and upon our eyes, that we may see that it's not for today or just tomorrow, but it's for the eternity we'll spend with you, our Savior, our Lord and Master. Now, God, help everyone here tonight. If there be one here tonight, God, that walks in the air of the way, that's backslidden, oh, God, bring them back, I pray. If there be one here tonight that's lost and undone without you or your Son, I pray that you'd show them, convict them, God, and let them come to the saving knowledge and call upon Jesus for salvation. Now, we thank you, and you know every heart of every man and woman here tonight. Deal with them in your own way. Help them, God, I pray, that they'd be a better Christian. And I pray the same for myself. Help us, O Lord. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. And amen.